Hey everyone, welcome to Thomas and the Bible, my podcast where I try to take on the entire stupid Bible, and it's going to take forever. So today we're going to be talking about Genesis, well, not talking about it, I guess I'm going to go through Genesis chapter 6, starting with that and see how far we get. So this is where it gets really, really awesome with Tale of Noah, which I'm sure most of you know. that was horrible. If you laughed at that, I feel sorry for you. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So his days shall be 120 years. So that's a little bit on the high side, but okay, whatever. There were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And it sounds a lot like the men of Numenor, actually. I kind of like this book so far. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's kind of a funny concept. So he saw that just all of a sudden, everyone in the entire earth is just evil. They're not just like sort of bad or sort of inconsiderate. They're everybody, every imagination, it says, of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So everything they're thinking, just like any possible thought, just like, evil! Like they're just going around finding any way they can to be evil. Not just like, oh, this guy, was a little greedy and so just cheated. No, not that. They're all evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Well, again, I could probably talk about this every single passage, but now, again, we're talking about God, the timeless God, the all-powerful God, as though he somehow has regrets and he's omniscient, but he doesn't always think things through. But more than that, I mean, everybody complains about that. Like, how could he be omniscient and still have all these doubts? And regrets and all that, but even a step further than that about the timeless thing, there's no way he could want anything. It doesn't make any sense. That would mean that he would not, at one time, would not have something, and then another time he would, but there's no time for him. It's ridiculous. Anyway, moving on. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So he's having regrets. I had to fix a little staticky thing there. Anyway, so yeah, he's regretting things at this point. Buyer's regret, remorse, I guess. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. That is, he knew the movie Star Trek Generations by heart, which is God's favorite movie, so he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah walked with God, and he walked with him. That's nice. Walk with your God. It makes the relationship better. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Three of the tastiest sounding sons I have ever heard. Well, I guess just Ham and Japheth. The earth was corrupt. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, which he just said. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So the last two little verses were just the same repetitive thing over and over. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is coming before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So it's a contest of how many times you can say earth. The earth, he looked on the earth, and the earth was bad, and God said unto Noah of the earth, The end of the earth was earth. Okay, let's see. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. What else? And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, so I can see what you're doing. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, except, of course, any water-dwelling creatures. As Eddie Izzard pointed out, and I'm sure lots of people have realized, a little hole in the theory of destroying everything on the earth, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Everything. So it's not just that he was going to let water-dwelling creatures live, because for a second I thought that's what it was. Like, he didn't care about the animals. He needed Noah to take some on the ark so they'd survive, but he wasn't necessarily looking to destroy them, and that's why, you know, whatever, the water, the fish can sort of live. But then this line sort of gets me. And everything that is in the earth shall die. Everything. So that's not just, you know, that's not just the mammals it just makes me think that these people just didn't think of that. They already emphasized, oh, another thought I had was like, maybe, you know, in some weird loophole, God hadn't created fish yet or whatever. But if you remember that he specifically said, you know, God created whales and everything. So definitely all those stupid fish live. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, including everything that reproduces asexually. Find me a male and a female of each. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Because, as we all learned from the beginning of Genesis, a male and a female can somehow create an entire species just by reproducing and then incest, I guess, is the method. I don't know how that works. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah... Oh, sorry, I was going to point out. Of fowls after their kind. I love that part, too. Because if we learned anything from Rocky, it's that just catching two stupid chickens would have taken forever, much less, you know, determining, you know... Oh, I was going to say something that made no sense. Anyway... So he'd have to catch two chickens, two of every single kind of bird there could possibly be. Like, somehow he's going to be able to do that. Two bald eagles. He's got to do that. Yeah. You know, two peregrine falcons. You know, everything. So anyway, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, and so did he. So that's the end of chapter stupid six. And closing thoughts on chapter 6, I just like to look at the ethics of killing everyone. I guess, you know, Christians or, you know, Bible people would just say, well, you know, he's God, he can do whatever he wants, and, you know, everyone is evil for that matter. Remember, everybody's evil. Everybody's just concentrating on evil 24/7, so, you know, of course it's justified for God to kill all these things. And if you ask why, I guess they'd say, well, God is more powerful and therefore can kill. You know, like we can't comprehend how powerful he is, therefore it's okay for him to kill us. I mean, sure, if there's a murderer and God just toasted the murderer, yeah, I guess that's okay. But like the odds that everybody there had committed some horrible act. I mean, it just says everybody was just thinking of evil. But if everybody there had committed a murder, there'd be nobody left. So obviously they haven't done that. So I love the idea that they don't even question that. They just think, oh, yeah, everybody's evil. Just kill him. Well, just because something is all powerful and we can't comprehend its power, it doesn't. How does that mean that it's okay to just kill innocent people? You know, sure, everyone is evil. Yeah, okay, that's what they would say. But what about the babies? Were they all evil? I mean, I assume there are babies there, right? They're already evil. And about babies, as a parent, you're infinitely more powerful than a baby. An infant can't even conceive of how powerful you are, yet you can't just kill it. So, for that matter, I was thinking about this, and it's really male chauvinistic when you think about it, because there's that little passage where he says, so everything is evil except Noah. You remember that. Okay, everything's evil except everybody's evil. Granted. But Noah gets to take his wife. Well, okay, maybe Noah's wife is okay. We'll just assume. But, and then Noah gets to take his sons. Sure, okay, all his sons, because they were the offspring of Noah and his wife. They're probably fine. But then all the sons' wives. Now, we've already talked about how everyone on the planet is evil because they're all being killed except Noah. He's the only good one. Yet there's these sons' wives that are sort of inconsequential. So my question is, how did they become so not evil? Clearly, if they all came from families, and if those families were capable of producing good daughters, then presumably there could be good in those families, or were they just, they were totally evil, but then somehow Noah's sons converted them to being good when they married him. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh, wait a minute, except that would mean that they could do that to anybody, and you wouldn't have to kill them all. So I say that's male chauvinistic because I think they don't even really think of the wives. They just say, yeah, and the stupid women that are around just to, you know, just have babies. That's all they do. But what's important is that Noah is good and his sons are good. So I thought that was kind of funny. And that sums it up for chapter 6. Okay, chapter 7 time. And the Lord said unto Noah, he's always saying things unto people. It's kind of impolite. Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. The male. Okay, so he's going back on what he just said. It's not the classic 2x2. It's 7x7, male and female, and of beasts that are not clean. So if they didn't happen to wash themselves that day, they are screwed and they only get two. They only get male and female. I guess he's probably trying to, you know, control the dirty beast population. Which, you know, who wouldn't want to do that? Of fowls also of the air by sevens. So now he has to catch seven fowls of each. That's impossible. There's no way Noah could have done that, much less build this, you know, 2 zillion square cubit ark by himself. And all of a sudden he's a master shipbuilder. Like, was that part of the description, you know, in Genesis before? Was that, they talk about Noah was really good, the only good person on the earth, plus he's the best shipmaker ever. Did they say that? No. Or even just an amateur carpenter, just something. But no, he just figured it out, that Noah. Okay, so I read that. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, because that will naturally, if you know anything about the water cycle, that would cover the entire earth in water, if you do that math. Just use your calculators. And every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. Again, every living substance, except everything that lives in the water. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord, in caps, had commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old. Oh, so, you know, lived for 600 years. Of course you know how to make a big-ass ark. And the flood of the water was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. and the ark of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean and of fowls and of everything that creepeth on the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Okay. Now, this is the point where we're getting to the point where I would just pass this off and think, okay, obviously no one could believe this. It's supposed to be taken completely figuratively. It's ridiculous, ridiculous story. And you know, I should stop harping on it because all but a few really stupid Southern Bible Belt people believe this. Except that I just read a story the other day that it was a big breakthrough that possibly they had found Noah's Ark in somewhere in God knows where. So that was the headline: Noah's Ark found, possibly. And I'm not saying that the news, and this was covered by lots of news organizations, not just a fringe group or something. But and I'm not saying that none of them really took it all that seriously. But they didn't say like obviously ridiculous plot. You know, they said Noah's Ark found, possibly. Experts have doubts. And I thought to myself, experts have doubts. First of all, Ark experts have doubts. So you'd have to be an expert in order to have a doubt about whether or not the stupid Ark that obviously doesn't exist was found? You have to be some sort of expert to think? Why didn't it read Noah's Ark possibly found, but obviously it's a bunch of crap and it's stupid and we should find other things to write news about? Like, that should have been the headline. So that tells me that I guess people are just at least, you know, entertaining the idea that the Ark even existed. Like, it would be something you could even find. It's just absolutely ridiculous to me. And then also in that horrible podcast that I actually quit listening to, I couldn't handle the guy's voice anymore. But he said after this was all said and done, he said, "So we have Noah to thank for a lot, because..." So he sounds sort of like a stoner, but he's probably not a stoner because he's really into the Bible, although who knows. But anyway, so he actually takes this seriously, and he's not so retarded that he can't figure out how to do a podcast, so he can't be absolutely, you know, incompetent. So, having said all that, I think I actually do have to talk about how stupid this entire concept is, real just quickly. Anyone can work out the math that, you know, obviously nothing can fit in the stupid ark. So, I think most likely, you know, Noah went around and found out how horrible an idea this was and how impossible it was to gather everything. Just eventually he just came back and he said, "Okay, Lord, Lord says, "Did you do everything I told you to do?" Yep, all done. Gathered all 13 species. "What's that?" I got all the species," I said. "Okay, very well." And that's how that went. So really, he probably just chickened out on all the work. That scene wasn't very funny. I didn't feel I should continue with it. But going on. So obviously there's that, but then I also looked online just for fun, and there are all kinds, actually, not just one, but at least like five, decent looking websites that tried to defend this stupid idea. And they went through all the math, which I thought about going through myself just for fun, cause it would be funny, but it would take forever and I'd just never be done with this thing. But they went through the math and they're like, well, they're doing all these qualifications. First of all, they're like, well, you wouldn't have to take anything in the water. So that's all those. And they're like, well, you'd only have to take everything, you know, pretty much the land, living mammals. And so there was that. And then they said, and this part got me, they said, every kind, which is the word God uses, would not necessarily be as specific as a species. So they're sort of trying to cop out of the idea that you need two of every species, because that would just be, you know, effing ridiculous. You have millions that you'd have to try to get on there. So, and they're like, yeah, so really you'd only have to take this, you know, this many. It wouldn't be that bad. The ark was huge. You know, they don't worry about, you know, Noah having to make it. And then they talk about, you know, everything living on the boat, which of course would be impossible. The amount of food you'd have to have, the amount of animals that eat would eat each other, wouldn't try to eat the food, or would just die. And the website sort of got around that by saying, well, God would put them into a hibernation. So anyway, going back to that notion that you wouldn't have to get everything, every single species, I love how contradictory that is, because you're stupid enough that you are taking the Bible, Genesis, to be literal. You're taking it that it literally happened, that Noah did all this. But you're saying you wouldn't have to get every species. So therefore, evolution would have taken care of all the speciesization after, you know, they got off the ark. Oh, wait, no, you don't believe in evolution because you believe in the stupid Bible. So, sorry, you'd actually have to take every single species. Otherwise, you'd be admitting that evolution was a fact. So, sorry about that. So that's not going to work out. Okay, that about covers that. So that's ridiculous, and it's obvious that's ridiculous. So moving on. It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep, broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day, entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons into the ark. They and every beast after his kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth after his kind and every fowl after his kind and every bird of every sort, even the flightless birds that evolved to lose their flight capabilities in Madagascar or whatever it is. Even them, he took a little trip. He built like a pre-ark ark to sort of boat over to there and get them. Yep. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. So everything that has the breath of life, except everything that lives in the ocean, which I guess technically doesn't breathe. Yeah, sort of. Anyway. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in, and they died. Now, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, until it was lift up above the earth. I love the language. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. How many times does he have to say the same thing? Jesus, that is. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. All the hills, even Mount Everest was covered. That's a lot of water, which somehow materialized. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all... yeah, because the highest mountain is 15 cubits. That's exactly right. Unless I... yeah, maybe I missed something. And all the flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing, all those evil creepy things, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were in him, with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth in 150 days. That's the end of stupid chapter 7. Okay, chapter 8 starts off, and God remembered Noah. That's lucky for Noah. Sometimes God's memory can be a little iffy. And every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, all the two cattle. And God made, cattle must be a, whatever. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Oh, simple as that. So if the earth is entirely an ocean, you could just make a wind, and it'll blow it to... I guess if he can make a wind fast enough so that the water lifts and sort of escapes the earth's pull, he could get enough water out. That would be one way. I don't know how the ark is going to survive that process, though. Anyway, The fountains also of the deep and the window of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually. And that, actually, I'm pretty sure that's where they said they found the ark, too, in that stupid article. Anyway, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, are you keeping track of all these days? I don't feel like doing it, so you keep track of it. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro, until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him, to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him, into the ark. Such awkward wording. And he yet stayed another 7 days. And again he set forth the dove out of the ark. And the ark came... sterile. And the dove came into him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that waters were abated from the earth. That's great. So what this dove did is it went and found an olive leaf that somehow was cryogenically frozen and contained so that it survived being under the ocean for 370 days. That's incredible. What a dove. Man, that's good job. So, yeah, I got the 370 days. I didn't do all that math. I didn't feel like it, but I just looked it up. That's how, if you add it all up. Yeah, so now's a good time to talk about some of the other ridiculous biological consequences of the stupid ark flood theory. So, first of all, there's the olive leaf from nowhere, which the dove plucked off. I keep saying she. At first I thought it was crazy, but then it says in her mouth, so that's why I was saying that. An olive leaf plucked off. So not only did she, find one, she found one from, and it's not like there was one floating on the ocean. It's not that, because Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. So that meant that she found an olive leaf plucked off, so from a fresh tree, an underwater olive tree that survived for a year, a little over a year. So that's impossible, by the way. All the vegetation is now going to be dead, because vegetation doesn't take too kindly to being underwater. I mean, for over a year, it's possible that something survived. Obviously, everything that lived in the sea before that could have survived, but now all the soil is pretty much going to be ruined. When you flood the earth and fill everything with salt water, I guess, or at least it all mixes around, becomes some briny salt, half freshwater thing, I guess. So that totally changes the chemical composition of all the soil. All the fish are actually probably dead, despite what I was thinking earlier, because what happens when you mix salt water and fresh water is that you kill everything, because freshwater fish can't live in salt water, and saltwater fish, for the most part, with maybe a few exceptions, but their bodies are completely composed differently because of the water in which they live. So pretty much everything would be dead. And even if something survived, the ecosystem would be completely, completely changed. Everything reset. Nothing, it'd just be, there's no way once they got off the stupid ark that they could survive, that they could even do anything. I guess Noah could just eat all the animals for a while, since he has thousands of them. But the animals aren't going to survive very long. They have nothing to eat. So, again, it's just a stupid, stupid thing, and I can't believe anyone has ever taken it seriously. Again, 53% in that poll I referenced before say that this is how man was created. And if they believe that stupid part in the beginning of Genesis, then they have to believe this part. They would have no reason not to. Okay. And he stayed yet another... I read that part. And it came to pass in the 601st year of his life, because he's friggin' old, in the first month, in the first day of the month, it's always the first everything, the waters were dried up from off the earth. That wind, earth, gravitational pull scheme finally worked. And Noah removed the covering of the ark. And look, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. How did he remove that huge covering off this massive ark? Did he just sort of like, you know, raise his arms and just sort of threw it off? Anyway. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. Again, he said the earth is dry over and over. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and every creepy thing creeping on the earth, they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth, and eat nothing, like we discussed earlier. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, how many times does he have to say that, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, which somehow they have some left. I don't know how they survived that long without eating all of them. But anyway, took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said, damn, that smells good. I could use a steak right now. Now, the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. So all it took was a little burnt offering of a bunch of birds and animals and poor screechy things, and probably terrified. So that's all it takes to please the Lord. You know, just harm some animals. And I will never again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, seed time and harvest, yeah, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. End of stupid chapter 8. Okay, chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every morning, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. I don't really understand what any of this means, but it's getting kind of long, so I'm just going to move on. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And whosoever sheddeth dog's hair, by hair shall the dog be shed. For in the image of dogs made... Stupid. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you. And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall be there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. So presumably before this, whenever you're standing and you're looking at some sort of rain or mist or cloud or whatever, you know, and the sun's behind you coming out of the cloud, I guess the sun's rays just went right through the moisture without refracting and creating a rainbow before this point. So I guess somehow before this, God had the foresight to say, you know what, I'm going to make the laws of physics be violated in just this case. I don't want to create a rainbow just yet. Something tells me I'm going to want to use the rainbow as a sign of a covenant. I just have that covenant-y, rainbow-y feeling, he said, and thought it odd at the time. So, all right. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you. And I already read this. And the God shall come to pass that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Okay. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all. Also, whenever you are running a hose and there's a little leak on one end of it and it gets all misty and the sun's behind you so you see a rainbow, I will remember my covenant. So pretty much God nowadays must just do a crap load of covenant remembering, because there's got to be at any given time over the earth just countless rainbows. You know, from little things and all that. But I guess that's, you know, that's why he's God and I'm not, you know? You know? I think this whole thing shows a pretty clear lack of rainbow understanding. Which is understandable because it was written by stupid men and not by God. And the bow shall be... No, I already read that like four times. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth o'erspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. Scandal waiting to happen. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward. And then they saw not their father's nakedness. They were very careful, because I guess they don't have penises, so they don't... Like, what is it that they're so afraid to see, unless Noah has some sort of secret? A third nipple... Fourth testicle? I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. I love that sentence. He wakes up. Okay, so he's so drunk. He passes out naked. He's drunk out of his mind. Think about it. It's the first time anyone's ever gotten drunk. So he probably has no tolerance. He probably had like a shot of wine, just a tiny bit of wine. Passes the heck out. Totally drunk, naked. And then he wakes up. And right when he wakes up, he goes, I know what my younger son has done to me. And it's like, so first of all, how does he know? Second of all, what has his younger son done? Like what? So, okay, it's a little embarrassing. The next day you got to talk about it. And, you know, next day Noah's going to have to explain, look, it was cold. I was naked, you know, cold winter's night. You know, I hope you didn't pass any judgments, that kind of thing. You know, maybe you have to have that talk, but surely nothing more than that. Let's find out. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So all this talk before about how Noah was the only good person and just a earth full of evil people who are just for evil and just thinking about evil all the time. And all that happens is his son sees him naked when he's passed out, and somehow that's his son's fault. Doesn't that go against the whole idea of Noah being pretty cool, you know, super nice, the only good person worth saving? Sounds like a dick. It sounds to me like maybe all this dickness that God's been showing the whole time, it just rubbed off on Noah. Actually, maybe his younger son rubbed off on Noah, and that was the thing that his younger son had done. That was horrible. And he said, cursed be Canaan, I read that, and he said, God shall enlarge Japheth. I hate enlarged Japheth. You should see a doctor about that. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So, oh, also, I missed this part. Canaan is Ham's son. So Ham saw his father naked. And this is so horrible that Noah, the supposedly really cool guy, has to curse Canaan, the son of Ham. What a douchebag. Okay. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So he's not like, you know, close to the end of his days. It's not like he's getting all, you know, whatever the heck that word is, senile or anything. You know, he doesn't have Alzheimer's. He still has 350 years to go. And so it ends by saying, in all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died. So Noah was a dick. There, I said it. End of chapter 9. So I'm looking at chapter 10, and thank the good Lord. Oh, I'm a devout Christian. I forget if I mentioned that. Thank the good Lord that chapter 10 is just more people begatting other people. Basically talks about the sons of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, enlarged to Japheth. The sons of Gomer, Magog, Madai, Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Phut, Canaan, blah, blah, blah. Just says a bunch of stuff, bunch of crap, dumb crap. Let's see. More dumb crap. And unto Ebers, two sons. I don't think anything's really important here. It ends by saying, these are the families of the sons of Noah. So it's just telling you that in case you run into, you know, you bump into them, you can say, hey, I know your whole family and everything that they did. Because that's going to come in handy sometime. After their generations and their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So that's the end of Genesis chapter 10, and we've gotten through 10 horrible chapters of Genesis. And pretty much, I think I've said just about everything I needed to say on that. Noah's a dick. Noah's Ark makes no freaking sense. Obviously, it's the most obvious thing that could ever be obvious, and it's sad that anyone could even think otherwise. So the only other thing to say is that if you want to send any comments, if you think I've gotten anything wrong, or you want to, you know, send me death threats or life threats, I guess, if you like me, that's the other kind, then send it to comments@thomasandthebible.com, and I will surely read everything because there probably won't be a lot. So I'll read everything. I'll talk about it maybe in future podcasts. So until then, thank you for joining me, and see you next time.